Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Chicago, it's the sports doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. We got a great doubleheader, Dr. Tufik Gilday, Michigan State University sports orthopedic surgeon, team physician, Olympic ski and snowboard teams. He'll be joining me, along with returning Dr. Ben Pearl, podiatric physician and surgeon. He's the host of Fit Foot U and some Bob Guida wisdom. Your emails. First, let's welcome Dr. Gilday. Welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Dr. Bob, how are you? Thanks for having me on here today.
Great. Give us some background on yourself and team doc with the famous Michigan State U.
Yes, sir. So a little bit of background on myself. I actually attended Michigan State University as an undergrad, if you could believe that. I went to medical school as well as residency and fellowship and elsewhere, but you know, I was fortunate enough to be recruited back to my alma mater to take care of the teams that I've been cheering for essentially my whole life. Here I take care of both the MSU football team and basketball team as essentially my primary responsibilities. And I'm also a consultant for the other varsity teams here at the university as well.
Now, you were honored to have a fellowship at the famous Dr. Stedman Clinic and in the past. And I guess that's what really got you rolling in the world of the ski team and the snowboarding team.
Yes, it was. The training there was really incredible. And the experiences that you get at Vail are second to none. Particularly because the word is out about the quality of care at Stedman. So during my time there, I saw athletes from all the major leagues, whether it be the NBA, NFL, as well as the U.S. Olympic team, who would all come there to get their care.
You know, it's interesting. We've had so many team doctors on in the past. Dr. Ahmad, the team doc of the Yankees, Dr. Cole, team doc of the Bulls and the White Sox, various other teams, and I always ask, you know, the pressure of the team doc, especially at those kinds of levels, even at the high college level, Michigan State University, which is, you know, the pressure from the athlete, from the coach, from the families. Do you also throw in that you're a sports psychologist, Dr. Gilday?
That's a great question. Well, although that's not formally my title, I do find that a large amount of my time is spent counseling patients, families, coaches, even agents at times, regarding not just the course of healing and therapy, but really the mental aspect of things and helping athletes get through this setback. Because as you know, athletes at this level are all about performance, and any hindrance to their performance comes at an extreme detriment to themselves, not just physically, but mentally as well.
You know, it's interesting. One of the contributors to my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, as well as a numerous guest, Robert Andrews from the Institute of Sports in Houston, got a wall of gold medals from his work with all of the Olympic gymnastics teams. One of his main specialties is the mental part of coming back from injury and that whole side of things. And again, I guess at your level, that's one of the biggest challenges. Doc, can you get me better yesterday?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And thankfully, here in the East Lansing area, and more specifically within the University of Michigan State, we acknowledge the mental component of this being just as important as the physical component of healing. And we have personnel here of varying different educations, all the way from psychiatrists, psychologists, to social workers that are available to help these athletes through their injuries.
You know, it's interesting. The, probably 95% of sports medicine is non-surgical. You know, so there's so many other aspects that have gone into the sports medicine group and the team today in the world of nutrition, again, in the I call it the mental game, which has become so gigantic in the past years. And what are some of the new exciting things, Dr. Gilde, in the orthopedic sports medicine world, like regenerative medicine? What are some of the things that are exciting and new today?
So there's a lot of things. Right now is a great time to be in the field of sports medicine, as well as being an orthopedic surgeon as well. Aside from surgical technique, from a non-operative perspective, I think that a lot of research is being done to optimize nutrition for athletes, as well as optimizing rest. And there's a new emphasis on making sure that athletes are getting great sleep patterns and good quality sleep that was not really emphasized in the past. From a therapy standpoint...
Sports medicine didn't know how to spell the words rest and recovery. Not that many years ago. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you go back years. International guests, national guests, local guests, all areas of sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. We have thousands of followers on both the LinkedIn as well as a crazy Twitter at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. A lot of good sports medicine information. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, the excitement with MVP Parent Magazine and Lower Extremity Review, talking orthopedic sports medicine with Dr. Tufik Gilde. He's the team physician at Michigan State University. And, you know, again, we're talking about some of these different challenges, some of the areas that have paid new big time attention. Well, of course, I throw in my sports podiatry pearl of the day, which is the importance of the role of the foot with all areas, lower extremity. And we're really paying much more attention to that over the past couple of decades also, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely.
No, is the athlete in the best shoe for his foot type, the role of orthotics, the importance of strengthening the feet. You know, it's amazing. Ankle injuries are still number one. And, you know, years ago, it was only in rehab. Now, tremendous attention in the word prehab. Right, Dr. Gilde?
Absolutely. I do agree with that. And whenever I evaluate a patient, I always look at the whole kinetic chain as a whole, starting from the core, going all the way down to the foot, and vice versa. So, if I evaluate an athlete for a lower extremity injury, I think it's particularly important to really evaluate the ankle and the foot and its interplay with the more proximal joints and musculature as well.
You know, with the explosion always of ACL injuries in all sports, again, football, basketball, and the fact that still today, 4-5-1, girls to boys, women to men, with some of these anatomical differences and whatever, and over the years, we've gotten much, much more proactive with paying attention to these anatomical differences. Today, I don't have a woman, female athlete that I don't proactively consider orthotics big time to try to protect those knees. What's been your experience on the ACL? It's amazing, the new surgical techniques, how fast athletes get back. What's your take on the ACL craziness?
So that's a great question, Dr. Bob. I think there's a lot of excitement around ACL surgery and returning patients back to sport quickly and efficiently and safely. I think that there's been somewhat of a paradigm shift in terms of graft selection as well as surgical technique, as well as the fact that surgeons and therapists alike are becoming more cognizant of the factors that contribute to ACL tear, as well as factors that help assist in rehabilitation after a surgery as well.
What's the best site that people could find out about you and your work and the university? Is there a particular website that you guys deal with, or should they just Google you and Michigan State?
I think that the best way to find me is just to Google me, Tufik Gilde, MD, and there you'll find plenty of information about my position here at Michigan State University, as well as a lot of the academic work I've done in the past.
You know, it's amazing. Of course, I'm a Louisville guy. So we've been a foe of Michigan State on the basketball court on and off for a million years. You know, Tom Izzo, that incredible program that Michigan State has always had. The man plays just about anybody You know, but again, the pressures physically and mentally with these athletes, high performance, whole different meaning. Even, you know, the attention of getting these athletes to learn how to reduce stress and pay big attention to rest and recovery, that's a lot easier sell today than it was years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so. And a lot of credit needs to be given to a lot of the work done by our peers in sports medicine, as well as the paradigm shift in the major leagues on the emphasis, on the greater emphasis on rest and recovery as well.
And the youth sports, which is a huge, huge topic on the Sports Doctor, because there's an epidemic in capital letters of youth sports overuse injuries. You know, whether, you know, we wake up and we say, holy cow, they're doing Tommy John surgery on 15-year-olds. And there are all this, the younger and younger, the specialization challenges. And this is something that's become a really, really big challenge in the world of youth sports. What's your take on that between the families, the coaches, these young athletes, and the fact of some of these pressures on these kids?
Well, Dr. Bob, it seems as though that in today's society, there's a lot of emphasis on performance, as we know. And interestingly enough, recent literature that's come out has really shown that sports specialization may come to a detriment to a lot of these kids, in that patients who play a number of different sports have actually a lower injury risk than those who subspecialize heavily in one sport, interestingly enough.
You know, it's always been the recommendation of everybody, athletic trainers, doctors, therapists, yes, play different sports. There's a chapter in my book, Dr. Gilday, it's called The Prodigy Sports, you know, where we think about gymnastics, my world, figure skating, ballet, even tennis and soccer, where these kids, they want to play one sport at 12 years old, at 11 years old. And so paying attention to that. And the fact that, yes, we don't want you to specialize, but the 2010 Men's Olympic Figure Skating Champion grew up around here, Evan Lysacek. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old figure skater skates. They only want to play the one sport. I found that to be a real challenge with some of these different sports. What's your take?
If the athletes themselves have aspirations to compete at a higher level. But nonetheless, in those athletes, I think that it's important for extra time to be spent to counsel them, to make sure that they understand that they're breeding muscle imbalances, which may predispose them to unique injuries that are unique for their particular sport.
Yeah, like these repetitive motion injuries. Like, you know, I'm picturing the tennis player who's swinging a racket 2,000 times a week, and that's really sometimes all that they're doing. But it's interesting, the World Cup women's soccer team, 80% of these ladies played different sports. I think it surprised a lot of people. But when we do run into these prodigy sport kids, this is when we try to get them under the tutelage of a sports medicine physician, a physical therapist, athletic trainer, to do exactly what you're saying, in order to be able to give them some good guidance. Besides the fact of whether it's their goal or their parents' goal when they're specializing early. Right, Doc?
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at some of the great athletes here in our nation, let's take Kobe Bryant, for instance. Great basketball player, as we all know, but he actually has quite a good grounding in soccer, for instance. So it can come to the benefit to play multiple sports.
I think that's the reality, even though, again, sometimes it's a tough sell very, very early on, you know, for some of these kids. And when you have these traveling teams and the pressure of scholarships, some of these other things, of course, by the time they get to you, right, they're already on the scholarship, and especially at those kinds of levels. What are some of the other sports that you're dealing with besides basketball and football?
Well, I work very closely with a lot of wrestlers, a lot of people in gymnastics. I work very closely with soccer players as well. So I really have a wide breadth of athletes that I take care of on the regular.
And do you find, again, that the two words I like to stress all the time, sports medicine, is awareness and education. Do you find, Doc, again, that getting in the middle many times with the coach and the parents, the family, especially after surgical injuries, is a big part of what you do?
Absolutely. I pride myself on open communication, not just with the athlete, but the athlete's family. The trainers are a huge component of my success as a sports medicine physician, as well as coaches.
Those are the geniuses. The geniuses, the athletic trainers.
Correct. They are. I would not be nearly as successful as I am today if I didn't have a good core of athletic trainers that I worked with day in and day out that I trusted.
And again, you know, the idea of, the pressure is always on, you know, especially if you're dealing with Olympians and you're dealing with these professional athletes, then again, everything is on the line to get back in the game, and the pressures. It's one of the explosions of the whole drug nightmare that we've all been involved in, whether it's opioids or whatever. I can't believe the time flew by. I want to thank Dr. Tufik Jilday. Again, they can Google him. Last, Dr. Jilday, G-I-L-D-E-H, Michigan State University team physician. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bob.
Hold on, J-I-L. Tufik, for a minute. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hold on. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Everybody, we're back live from Chicago. Happy holidays. We're excited. We got returning Dr. Ben Pearl, podiatric physician and surgeon. He's the host of the exciting podcast, YouTube, Fit Foot You. Dr. Pearl, welcome back.
Pleasure to be back, Bob, and happy holidays to you and all your listeners.
Yes, Ben, give us some feedback on your background leading into your podcast that you do.
Yeah, so I have a lifelong interest in human movement and athletics, starting, you know, as a kid, and took it, you know, into professional life. In college, undergrad, I went out for track, did some bike racing, taught skiing for about 20 years, and really always had a passion for understanding the human body, and that relates and segues into some of the things that I'm looking at now with different types of biomechanics, things that I'm looking at, putting together a summit coming up January 19th, and then also the electromagnetism that we've been talking about, and just kind of the holistic health ideas, looking at, you know, really science and not just dogma of what we had been doing previously, really trying to understand, are these things working that we're bringing on board?
Well, of course, in the world of podiatry and in the decades that I've been involved with on the Sports Doctor as well as in my practice, the emphasis is the role of the foot. The emphasis of the role of the foot in whatever we're doing, the first shock absorber of the body affects areas above. So this is something that podiatric sports medicine has made such a big deal out of. And I know that you've continue to pay big attention, not only to dealing with the conditions, the injuries, the problems. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, that world of electromagnetics. But the fact that biomechanics, you know, does this person have high arches? Do they have flat feet? Are they bow-legged? Are they knock-kneed? How flexible are they? All these things going into, you know, Dr. Ben, the song I would sing, you know, the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone. I have to admit, though, my chiropractic guests would be singing the backbone's connected to the knee bone. We would try to meet in the middle. But the role of the foot in sports, a big deal in all sports, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about, let's look at what most people are doing, running, because all it takes is a pair of running shoes. We're not only looking at the movement or the kinetic or kinematic aspect, but the kinetics now. And, you know, way back with with Bob Guida, I know that he was doing a lot of stuff with you and looking at actuators and the torques within the joints. So not only what we're seeing, but measuring what's happening inside the joint. Because despite what we see, and even though looking at basic things like putting your foot in a stand print, deciding whether you have a high arch, low arch, etc., we've become so much more sophisticated about how we are looking at the mechanics of locomotion and sport.
You know, I really believe, of course, I'm prejudiced with sports podiatry. Any chronic, persistent, recurring lower extremity, your back, your hips, your knees, your feet and ankles, any persistent lower extremity problems got a foot component. The feet are related. And we really need to continue to pay big attention to that. And it's probably going to take us another lifetime, although I think we've come a long, long way, baby, from the days when if the foot didn't hurt, there wasn't attention paid to it. Or in high performance on sports medicine, the fact of strengthening the feet and ankles as a major area, I'm still selling it in this day and age. And, you know, you mentioned that magic word biomechanics. Tell us a little bit about the seminar you have coming up.
Yeah, so January 19th, I'm going to have some world-renowned lecturers. We've got Simon Bartold from Australia. We've got Dr. Chocklingham from England, and he's doing a study with the World Health Organization on prosthetics and orthotics, the benefits thereof. So not looking at any one particular type of device, but just looking at how they fit into the clinical scenario. We're going to have some people talking about 3D printing, which is coming of age. We've got Dr. Richard Blake. He just came out with, by the way, a beautiful practical biomechanics text. And I would encourage this for you, Dr. Bob, and any of your listeners, whether you be a practitioner or just a lay person, it's almost like looking at a golden book. He'll talk about, how would one look at treating a Morton's neuroma, cross-reference that with tarsal tunnel, look at some of the things that we're doing with the unwinding of the nerve, you know, what is doing mechanically, both with flexion and extension, looking at different types of compressive treatments, all sorts of things. And it's a really a visual book. as well as
yeah. Well, he's done great work. Great work over the the decades. And again, there's not a sport around. There's not a team around at various levels, especially at serious levels, like we just had on our first guest with Michigan State University and the Olympic teams, that don't pay big attention to that term biomechanics, things in motion, protecting these joints as best as possible, and also being able to enhance performance when that's indicated. You know, I've always told athletes, you want to be two steps quicker, strengthen those lower extremities, man. Work those feet and ankles. What are some of the other areas and topics you guys are going to talk about?
Yeah, we're going to be looking at limb length discrepancy. We've got a sports chiropractor that has worked with USA Track and Field. He'll be there as well. And we'll get it from both a podiatric and a chiropractic perspective. So we'll be looking at things like, for example, if your hip internally rotates, how does that affect the length of the total segment?
Yeah, they're my experts. Over the years, you know, I've had symposiums where we had five different specialties sitting around the desk when I used to be at DuPage University talking about leg length. And I had DOs, I had orthopedists, I had physical therapists, podiatrists, chiropractors. And out of all of them, I found my best expert profession regarding leg length is the chiropractic profession. And that intricate, it's so subjective, and it's a huge topic. In the area of treating all sorts of foot and ankle problems, and it's funny, I'm thinking back over the years when I've spoken to you about magnetic therapy, there's electric therapy, and I know you're talking about the effectiveness you're seeing with electromagnetic treatment for whether it's plantar fasciitis, whether it's the ball of the foot, whether it's the whatever the area is. Talk a little bit about the excitement of that area.
Well, it's been used for a number of years for treating things like non-unions on so-called wearables, and those have been in the traditional insurance model. Electromagnetic energy has also been used now for the insurance model in Canada. Here in the U.S., we're a little slower to accept things that are technology-orientated because there's such a reliance on pharmacy and other methods that have been used for years in the U.S. medicine.
That's a big point, you know, our world of the overemphasis of pharmacy. That is a really, really important point. Pills for everything, drugs for everything, there's no doubt about it. And you're really talking about enhancing healing with this modality,
right,
aren't you?
Yeah, so electromagnetic energy starts with the premise that our bodies are basically like a battery. We have ions, we have iron in our blood, the nerves rely on polar charge. Our bones have something called a piezogenic effect, where even walking creates a charge on the bones to create healing. But those calcium ions react to charge as well. And not only these things, but pain in general can be mediated and altered by electromagnetism because it is interfering with the pain gate cycle. So there's something called pain gate theory where you can only accept but so many signals at once. So if we can do something to intervene and create confusion for our own body in terms of interpreting a pain signal, we can bust up that cycle. So now what's happened is we've taken these devices and now made office-based units that have much higher Gauss than, let's say, so-called wearables. There are, of course, home units that people can order off Amazon, and they vary in terms of their efficacy. So you really got to look carefully and do your due diligence. And I'm not here to pitch any, you know, one particular brand, but all I say is do your due diligence. Look at different websites where there are support groups so that you can really have a good, strong foundation of understanding electromagnetism. I interviewed a guy by the name of Bill Pawluk, P-A-W-L-U-K, and he is very, very knowledgeable. He's been doing this for the last 3 to 4 decades and has written several texts on electromagnetic energy. These are not the magnets that were pushed in the late 70s, early 80s, and up till the 90s that, you know, hardly have any Gauss, you know, these small little things that people inserted in their shoes. These are things that produce an actual field like an MRI unit. You'll even hear the click, click, click of the cycle of the...
Yeah, there's been a lot of excitement also electromagnetic with concussion therapy. You know, I'm a sports doctor. I have people from all over the world for decades talking about the world of concussions, hyperbaric oxygen experts, individuals from Finland, Dr. Hagel, with the work they're doing with saliva tests, et cetera. And there's been a lot of excitement for a while, healing, stimulating healing naturally with electromagnetic energy. You know, like in podiatry, one of the most common things we see in the world of active people is the plantar fasciitis, inflammation of the plantar fascia, the band on the bottom of the foot. And I know that the electromagnetic treatments you've been excited about, the results you've been seeing.
I have. I will get sometimes an immediate result where we get a physiologic effect of inhibiting the pain signal and then also getting some immediate blood flow. And there's movement of blood that occurs that creates that healing cascade. Now, then you have the longer tissue repair, which is now 3-4 weeks down the road. But even immediately, you'll get an immediate physiologic effect many times with these treatments. I had a gentleman today that I suspected had gout. I was in the office earlier today, and we did the treatment, and immediately hit the swelling and the tented red toe was a little less so. And it was less stiff, and he told me he was about 25% better. And that's without even doing like a cortisone shot, which I
This is a painless therapy.
Correct.
Or painless treatment, you know, for the most part, which has always been one of the exciting parts of it. So somebody might come in once a week, 3-4 weeks, have some repetitive treatments in order to be able to calm some of these areas down. Again, with treatments that don't particularly hurt. And I guess whether, again, it's the ball of the foot, whether it's the foot ankle, shin splints, et cetera, that the electromagnetic treatments could be effective for any of these tendonitis and inflammations.
And I'm especially excited, too, about neuropathy because of what we said of the charge that the neurons rely on to make the signal. So if you're not getting activation because of the wearing away of the lining around the nerve, the myelin sheath, and that kind of wears just like insulation around a wire in your lamp. If you're not getting that,
yeah, that's a big deal. I want to talk to you more, Dr. Ben, about that. You know, the diabetes in the world of neuropathy, we're going to talk more about it. We're talking with podiatrist, podiatric physician, and the host of Fit Foot U, Dr. Ben Pearl. It's the sports doctor. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. factual, evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention, I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor Is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. We're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil with colleague podiatry with surgeon Dr. Ben Pearl. We're talking about electromagnetic treatment, stimulating healing, breaking up the pain cycle, some of the different areas of excitement. And before we had the break, we were talking about the whole world of neuropathy, the loss of sensation in the feet that sometimes lead podiatrists to be the first profession to suspect diabetes with people coming in saying, I got burning pain or whatever. So I think, and I was just mentioning Dr. Larry Rubin, involved with the nationwide lower extremity amputation. It's such a nightmare with the diabetes concern. So talk a little bit more, Dr. Ben, about the effects for neuropathy that we might be looking at.
Yeah, so there are many different ways that people look at trying to help diabetics with nerve loss. One of the traditional ways is looking at integrative medicine, supplements, antioxidants such as alpha-lipoic acid. There's a Mayo Clinic study. We already talked about energy. People use laser. People use electromagnetic energy to prime that pump. The importance of all this is that if we lose sensation as a, let's say a diabetic or just from age-related neuropathy, our external sensation system is at a deficit and we can land on a sliver or some small piece of glass that can then create an infection.
Or somebody could fall. You know, they don't have feeling in their feet. They might be falling, these other kinds of symptoms. You know, Dr. Ben, I want to talk to you about, I'm switching totally. I want to talk about your Fit Foot You, your podcast, and some of the different areas that you are excited about. Talk a little bit about the podcast and some of the, your great guests.
Well, it's been great. We've had...
By the way, I was one of them, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, you did a great job. And you had some great, great anecdotes of Jimmy McMahon and some of the things that you were able to help him with orthotics and such a colorful personality. You know, we've had a notable diabetic athlete, Gary Hall Jr. He's been always very generous about talking about health and wellness, and I would encourage people, even if they're not diabetic, he's got some good things to say about traveling and remaining healthy and powering through the pandemic with depression and things that, you know, there's a lot of stress obviously associated with the world we're living in at present, even though everybody is still trying to get back to normalcy. I've had Vernon Davis as a guest, you know, former 49er. I've had the great Dr. David Armstrong a couple of times, and he's like Dr. Larry Rubin, such a wealth of information on diabetes. He's got a associate, a colleague of him, Bijan Najafi, that talks about compliance with patients and something called gamification, where you try to get patients to participate in their own health, let's say doing motor tasks with video assist to make it fun as opposed to drudgery to do intrinsic foot exercises or whatever task you're trying to do, because as we know, compliance is a huge problem with any treatment that we undergo.
Well, that's why it's one of the biggest reasons, Dr. Ben, that one of my main features for decades on the Sports Doctor is I call it the mental game. Whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, whether you're their coach, whether you are someone who's trying, like you said, to stick with the program, you know, of weight management or stick with the instructions they're getting for health and wellness, nutrition, et cetera, so much of it is mental. And yes. There's much more tension, knock on wood, being paid to it. Yet, at the same time, we're treading water. Childhood obesity is as bad as it's ever been. So is general obesity. So sometimes we see that we're treading water with a lot of these areas as we've really come to realize how important the mental game is, whether it's in patient compliance, like you mentioned, or their family when you're dealing with some of these young athletes. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, yes. The family connection is very, very important. You know, as you know, that social network, that support network, to basically just have like a family coach or a accountability factor. That's really what it is. It's having that accountability. That's why working out with a workout partner is great, or having an app on your phone that helps to try to promote accountability. That's why people set up their schedules on their phone, to be accountable to ourselves. So such a huge element there in the whole healthcare continuum is to follow through and be consistent, you know, kind of the Cal Ripken philosophy of just, you know, getting out there and soldiering on day by day, even though it you may not always feel like it. We do have to consider rest, though, and that's, you know, you've talked about that, too. A lot of the, I had a athletic trainer for the Washington Caps, Smitty, Greg Smith, and he talks about the importance of rest on the road with these hockey players' schedule, and I don't have to talk to you about the athletes.
Oh, yeah, if we get it to youth hockey, and we get it to youth hockey, and maybe the kids got a triple header over the weekend. You know, some of these schedules and demands on these kids
driving
and youth
to Michigan
sports,
and weather,
way,
you know, all
way
of
out
those
of hand.
Things. Yeah, yeah.
You know, rest and recovery has become a gigantic topic. It's interesting. One of my frequent guests contributed to my book, Hashtag A Sports Parents, Robert Andrews, founder of the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston, Texas. He's got a wall of gold medals because he's worked with gymnastics women's team for decades. His specialty now a lot is the mental part of recovering from injury, Dr. Ben, and that kind of challenge with some of these athletes who are dealing with seeing their career flash before their eyes or wondering how long it's going to take to get back from surgery, whatever it happens to be, talking about that there's so much more attention to that side of it. Because it's one of our biggest problems with the whole world of drugs and sports, and the idea that if you can cut the time down, if you can somehow mask it, we're telling parents all the time: if your son or daughter needs over-the-counter pain medicine to participate, you're over the line. And in youth sports, you're dealing with this stuff all the time, aren't you?
Absolutely. There's a lot of pressure on kids, sometimes too much. I think it's good to.
Dr. Ben, I knew I'd fly through the time. Give me the website. People could find out about you and the podcast quickly.
Yes, ArlingtonFootAndAnkle.com. The podcast you mentioned is Fit Foot U, both on Spotify and it's also on YouTube. And then if anybody is interested in finding out more about biomechanics, we've got that virtual summit coming up January 19th. You can email me direct at ArlingtonFoot@gmail.com. Thanks for allowing
me. I'll keep it in front of them. Dr. Ben Pearl. Hold on, Ben. We'll be right back, everybody. The last segment, the Sports Doctor's in. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. globalschoolwear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play. especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctors In segment where we preview some upcoming shows. We answer a few emails. We brag about the book, hashtag A Sports Parent. Quick shout out, Bruce Merrin, one of the gurus of PR. He represented Elvis Presley in his day. His first sports people were Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali. Bruce Merrin. CelebritySpeakers.com. Great shows coming up next week. Returning one of our experts in the whole world of cheerleading, the challenges of concussions, some of the legal aspects. Kimberly Archie will return. And then her pal is going to join us. Nancy's one of her areas is the world of divorced parents. And again, when we're talking youth sports and families, It's a big topic. The following week, ex-Chicago Bull, ex-Olympian Chris Gandy, the financial expert, he's going to talk a lot about some of those challenges, whether it's pro athletes who are retired or families trying to deal with what it takes to keep their kids in club sports. And then former mayor Debbie Peterson out on the West Coast can talk a little bit about what it takes to change some of these rules or input in youth sports and schools and some of the different sport systems. Great stuff coming up. Some Bob Guida wisdom. He was an expert in deep soft tissue therapy. Bob used a chiropractic machine called the G5, which could do very, very deep massage, very light massage, and it became a focus of his therapy for injuries, both acute and chronic, where he'd be stimulating either surrounding tissues to stimulate healing, enhance blood flow, enhance movement of waste products out of an injured area. And it was one of the areas that he really helped pioneer massage therapy and vibrational massage therapy. Something that has become really, really productive in the whole world of healing and post-injury in the world of sports medicine. A couple of emails. Rich said, would you discuss the difference between hard and soft orthotics? It's a great question, Rich. People ask about it all the time. I have a better chronology, which is flexible and rigid. Soft orthotics can bottom out and actually become hard surfaces and don't afford very, very good support over a long period of time. My favorite material is polypropylene plastic, which can be extremely flexible. If I have a figure skater coming down in triple jumps, the orthotic better be flexible. If we're using an orthotic in a senior citizen, it might have a soft cover, but it might be a very flexible plastic. So I would rather you pay attention to whether that material for the orthotics is flexible or rigid. We don't like very rigid materials. They used to be popular over the years. We like good flexibility, but we want a material that's going to hold the correction. We might use soft materials in diabetics, other kinds of instances, but I've been talking about those semantics for a million years. Denise said, talk a little bit about podiatry and diabetes detection. You know, we were just talking with Dr. Pearl about the scourge of diabetes and the challenge of it being so prevalent that we, over the years, had to change the definition of age-related diabetes, type 2 diabetes, because there were so many young kids and teenagers who were involved in developing diabetes, with the obesity and the nutritional challenges. And podiatry, because we're foot experts, many times are the first profession to see concerns where somebody might have numbness, might have burning pain, might have other kinds of symptoms in their feet. The feet are the furthest area from the heart. So many times the feet, the eyes, one of the earliest areas diabetes can be detected. Podiatry might then be referring that patient to their primary care physician for overall care. And the scourge of endgame diabetes complications with my colleague, Dr. Larry Rubin, and the organization LEAP, Lower Extremity Prevention. It's amazing how wound care has become so significant and important in the world of podiatry. So absolutely, any diabetic wants to have podiatry as one of their doctors, period. What's the best shoe? What about orthotics? What about proper support, et cetera, et cetera? Sam wants to know, are hammer toes inherited, or are they always surgical problems? You know, Sam, foot type is often inherited. The foot type that might be cramping the toes, that high arch foot, might be inherited, not the actual hammer toes themselves, although they might be developing. The bunion deformity, the dislocation of that big toe joint, the development of that large bump, as the toe migrates towards the other toes, it might underlap them or overlap them, creating the development of hammer toes. So yes, when you have your family, the mom, the grandma might be dealing with hammer toes, might be dealing with the corns that are problematic. For 100 years, podiatry has been involved in trimming corns and calluses with some of these particular areas. The only way to correct hammer toes is surgically. A lot of the procedures are very, very effective. They are surgery. A lot of times, the proper shoe gear becomes very, very important. So if mom or grandma, grandpa, dad has hammer toes, we're paying attention to the kids early, even in early adolescence. We might see that orthotics to control some of these forces is the best thing we've got to try to slow down these kinds of changes to the digits. The knuckling of the toes is what really hammer toes are. And we can have discomfort on the tips of the toes because that's where that person's hitting, or on either of the joints because of rubbing creating corns. So get podiatry involved in being helpful. Wow, it is the new year is almost upon us. We've had some crazy weather throughout the whole country. Let's hope it calms down. I want to wish everybody a happy new year. Our friends at BBS, everybody else, our listeners. Catch you next week, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you.